A warm welcome from Amsterdam, and thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Game Consultant. Your host of today is Reinout.
It is Sunday, March the 22nd. Welcome to a new episode, episode 12 of Game Consultant. So first of all, thank you for listening, and the last couple of weeks have been really interesting. I had interviews with Odile, Dean, Oscar Clark, and today you're going to listen to Jacob and Teddy about the Nordic game. Very fun interview. Again, I have to say, I have been laughing a lot. Although we address and cover serious topics, there is fun also. And definitely in these times, I think it's good to laugh. Further on, we have Chris Reed. And Chris is basically explaining how he wants to do his new item. And he's calling it Reed Thinks. That sounds heavy. Anyway, so it's about esports, and it's not about results and these kind of things, but more his ideas about esports, what's going on, what is interesting, what do you should know, you know? Yeah, I know. Anyways, and then the latest game news, and that's actually I want to start with. Quickly go through it. It's not going to be 1 hour. As I said, on the Wednesday, I want to do the longer interviews for, well, anywhere 40, 50 minutes. And then on Sunday, I want to do the regular episode. For two companies, it's going to be a bit disappointing because since I want to get it a little bit shorter, I can't do the companies to watch today. But I promise next week, definite. And those are two very interesting companies. So, building up the excitement. Anyways, let's start with the news. So the latest news. I actually did see quite a lot of news. Maybe that is still news that was written, press releases that were ready. I don't know. I'm really wondering how the next 2 weeks will continue with news. As for Holland, we don't have schools till April the 6th. In fact, they still expect a spike over here in people that will be contaminated with the coronavirus. So let's see. Let me give this a start. Where do I start with then? I start with Adjust. Adjust is hiring Ville Mikkola. He's heading up a coalition against ad fraud. I find it interesting because in 2019, ad fraud was claimed to be 42 billion of the money generated through ads. So I guess he has quite an interesting task ahead of him. Good luck, Ville. Playtika is donating its catered meals to local community to help against coronavirus. I've seen more initiatives where gaming companies are helping people in distress. If you have something that you're doing as a local game company, please do share it with me because, you know, I think it's worthwhile mentioning, and who knows, maybe I can get something moving. Games against Corona, hashtag, something like that. Next to that is only one third of the CEOs in games started their working lives in the industry. And the research was done by Quali. If you want to read more about it, go to pocketgamer.biz and search on Quali. That's Quallee. Of that third of executives, 30%, got started as a programmer, while a further 30% started as indie developers and entrepreneurs. Meanwhile, 13% kicked off their careers as a game designer, and 9% were involved in production, and the final 17% comprises of accountancy, games testing, art, and internal roles. Interesting. Let me see. Scopely, of course. again. How are these guys doing it? Scopely secures an additional $200 million in Series D for a total of $400 million US dollars. And the extras, well, the extra $200 million came from private family-owned business Advance and consumer-focused investment company The Churnin Group. I guess we're going to see more acquisitions. Hopefully, I can get someone to say something for the podcast. Pokemon grosses $2.6 million in the first month. US is leading that. Player spend and installs as a total is exceeding the $2.3 million. That's according to Sensor Tower. Further on, Tencent International is reaching Spurs continue. Wow, what is this saying, actually? Tencent's international reach spurs continued growth in Q4. Guys of gamesindustry.biz, make some nice headlines. This one is really difficult. The Chinese gaming giant saw profits up against last quarter and for all of 2019. So what can we say? Tencent brought the total revenues up to 106 billion RMB, which is, I would say, 50 billion dollars, which is 25% up. Oh man, Tencent. VentureBeat came out with a story about Vainglory founders that raised 2.5 million for Bazooka Tango, the mobile game studio. Bo Daly is the founding CEO, and as I recall, he was also a CEO of the Super Evo Megacorp company, and he started a new company with Stephen Sherman. Interesting to follow these guys, and I'm thinking they actually started to work on an IP with or for Vainglory, but I need to check on that. Further on, what do we have? Oh yeah, the last one, Facebook. 90% of those who got a guest cast for Christmas who are new to Oculus. I always want to say cast, but it's Quest. During the introduction video for Facebook Game Developers Showcase, Oculus Chris Pritt, how will you say that name, revealed an interesting stat regarding just how popular the Oculus Quest has been since its May release. We look at the folks that turned on their devices around Christmas in 2019, and 90% of those people are brand new to the Oculus. Okay. Now, if we could add numbers to it, we would know if this is actually continued to take a flight or not. In any case, that was quickly the news of last week. Let's continue with Chris Reed.
Right now, I want to thank you for the opportunity to do this segment again. I'm really excited to do this. And I was kind of going through what we should call this, and I have a name, but I want to make sure that everybody knows what this is going to be about. So each week, my goal is to bring my thoughts from the esports industry. So knowing that, I'd like to call this Reed Thinks. It's definitely not going to be a rote thing looking at team scores and things like that, because you can get that anywhere. So it's going to be a little bit more about what I've internalized in the space, what has happened, and just kind of my thoughts as to what's going on. So we're going to jump right into this. Look, last Wednesday was just a huge inflection point in a day that in the traditional sports world, people will never forget. Because Wednesday is the day that the National Basketball Association suspended their season. And it was crazy when it was Wednesday evening, and the video of Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, when he found out, he jolted back in his seat. And I mean, he was just shocked. So if he was that shocked, I mean, think about everybody else. It just sent a wave through Twitter, and just people were just, it was wild. So once that happened, it was obviously a cascading effect. Other leagues canceled by within 24 hours, or not canceled, but suspended their seasons. And then, for example, college basketball, NCAA, they did cancel the entire March Madness. And I'm in basketball country, so everybody was a little upset about that. But, you know, people have to get over it. It is what it is. It's a situation that we're all unfortunately in. But Wednesday and Thursday was a massive day just for traditional sports because it is halted. And it opened up the opportunity for the esports space because literally what happened was there was nothing left. There was nothing left of traditional sports. You can't consume traditional sports right now unless it's reruns. So that opened up the opportunity to go into the digital space, to go into the streaming world, to engage with fans in a different way, or potentially a different way. Because I think a lot of, look, esports and kind of the digital world, streaming has been a one-off, in my opinion, in general, with the mainstream, as far as, oh yeah, we'll get to that, we'll do a few streams here and there, but it's never been looked at like the primary way to engage with fans and followers. So once that happened Wednesday, Thursday, I want to go over a couple things for some of the transitional stories of what's happened to these physical events that have went to streaming, for example. So the Phoenix Suns moved quickly on this. So this is an article from ArizonaSports.com. Suns turned to Twitch to play Mavericks during NBA postponement. So within 24 hours, the Suns came out and said, okay, we're going to play the rest of the regular season on NBA 2K. It was a massive announcement. People on Twitter going crazy. The NBA 2K scene, obviously they've been waiting for something like this as far as exposure and talking about the community and things like that. Because the article actually said, just because there's no NBA season doesn't mean there's no basketball. So it's that transition from the physical world to the digital world, essentially, and then streaming this on Twitch. So how they did this was a streamer, Antonio Saldivar, represented the Suns, while Lawrence Buddy Norman, the brand ambassador for Mavericks Gaming, represented Dallas Mavericks. And they ended up playing. Phoenix actually ended up losing, so the Mavericks won 150 to 136. But this was a regular season game that was supposed to be played on Friday, and they played this on Twitch on Thursday on NBA 2K. Listen to the numbers. It's amazing. There were more than 12,500 people at peak watching this game, which made it a top 10 stream on Twitch, which is absolutely incredible. So something is kind of put together, and again, not putting this down, I think a lot of the execution could have been better. But look, they did this within 24 hours. They got the announcement. They said, okay, we're going to move it to Twitch. They got a couple streamers together, and they did it. So obviously execution can be better, but things get better over time, right? And we'll talk about this in just a second. But yeah, over 12,500 people watched that stream at one point for peak. And it was a top 10 stream. It's absolutely incredible. So look at that engagement. I mean, understand the engagement there. And this was on their Twitch channel. It was Phoenix_Suns. There was kind of a controversy. They didn't put the link on some of their tweets, and people didn't know where to go. So think about that. I mean, once that execution is cleaned up, think about all the engagement they're going to have throughout the rest of the season. So it was just a big moment for the Suns. I think, you know, the decision makers there, they did a great job to get that on Twitch, to get that going and engaging with their fans. Also, obviously, with the Mavericks being able to do that as well. So it was a really interesting story. That was the first one that really broke. So Kellen Olsen went on Twitter and said this: Suns' first Twitch stream with the games left on schedule via playing NBA 2K was a tremendous success. Viewership kept climbing, a rarity on Twitch. At one point, it was over 12,500 viewers, which put them as a top 10 among all live channels on the platform. Awesome stuff. So that was kind of the NBA side. The other story I wanted to bring up was Formula One. Formula One, obviously, with everything else, had an event this weekend, was going to be canceled, or it was suspended, technically. And so the event was suspended. It was an event in Australia. It was the Australian Grand Prix that was scheduled for Sunday. Well, they said kind of the same thing. They said, okay, that if it's going to be suspended, we're going to go to Twitch, and we're going to engage with our followers there. We're going to give them something to watch. We're going to give them something to consume. So what they did is this is from TalkSport.com. They had Lando Norris of McLaren. They had him come on, and he has over 200,000 followers on Twitch. And they broadcasted the battle, and they called it Not in the AUSGP. So kind of the moniker, Not the Australian Grand Prix, which was also hosted by Velocia Esports. I mentioned Velocia Esports because Jamie McLaurin and his team is coming on Level Up Experience. So can't wait to talk to those guys in the next couple of weeks. So make sure to check that out. But this, you thought those numbers were huge in NBA 2K? Listen to this. The live stream proved to be a huge fit with fans, getting over 70,000 viewers and smashing F1's all-time concurrent record. On the broadcast, he said, "I'm so happy right now. I'm shivering kind of nuts. Am I the highest viewed on Twitch right now? I never thought I'd get here. Feels like a lot of support for me. Thank you very much." The number one Twitch stream? This was the number one Twitch stream. Like, people have to understand how big of a deal that is. So an event that wasn't going to happen, they transitioned it to Twitch and really not knowing what the engagement was going to be. So, you know, kudos to decision makers. It's moving. That's taking the risk and the chance of doing it. I think it's the right move. They did it, and look what happened. The number one Twitch stream is absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And so the engagement is there. People want this to happen. They want to be able to watch this event because the physical event's not happening. And you're not going to get the exact viewership, potentially, right, on traditional networks. But you're going to get incredible engagement that you otherwise wouldn't have. If they didn't do this, guess how much engagement they would have got? Zero. So think about that. You're going to see it's just a huge point right now for esports as far as connecting people. And again, more than just watching an event, but really connecting people, the social aspect. You know, we're talking about social distancing. Well, this brought tens of thousands of people together. So people have to think about that. It's like it's the anti-social distancing, but we're also so social distancing in the physical world. So I know I went a little deep on that, but this is really interesting. It's going to continue. Obviously, we have no idea with the coronavirus what's going to happen. I mean, people have, you know, speculations and all that. We have no idea how long this is going to be. And until then, until physical events start happening again, they're going to have to turn to Twitch. They're going to turn to YouTube. They're going to have to turn to streaming to have that that live engagement. So I'm really excited to see what happens with it and all the different activations that we're going to see. Rynot, thanks again for having me on. I really appreciate it. So turn in next week for another Rethinks.
Okay, two very interesting guys in the podcast. I have Jakob and Teddy of Nordic Game, and I promised them I would only say Nordic Game, and then they can fill in the blanks. So guys, take it away. Nordic Game, tell me all about it.
Okay, Teddy, will you go first?
No, you go ahead. You've been there for ages, right?
So. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking about
decades.
You're the old one.
Okay. I'm leaving now. Don't want to talk about my age.
Okay.
I've been with Nordic Game quite some years now, and we used to be a government-funded program to kind of unify the Nordic countries into a unified scene for game development. And we were really lucky and had the right timing in doing so, just when the whole gaming phenomenon really boomed in the Nordic countries with games like Battlefield and Angry Birds from Rovio. And basically all the Nordic countries, they had like really good momentum at that time. So we were able to build up a supporting role, which is exactly what we are for the entire Nordic region in terms of giving game developers the best possible ways to do their business, whether it is actually developing games, having a place to gather, getting the right funding, talking to publishers, helping the grassroots, the first starters, to become more secure in how they act in the industry and so forth. And part of this was to establish the Nordic Game Conference in Malmo and in Sweden. And we've been doing that for 16 editions, with the 17th edition coming up in late May this year, and a new edition of Nordic Game Conference 2020 in late November. We can talk a little bit later about the actual content of each event and why we choose to do so. Yep. But basically, yeah, that's the Nordic Game, the conference. I think that is what is mostly known in by your listeners as a game conference for developers. What is our strength is that we are doing it on the backbone of a really, really strong Nordic community that actually it crosses borders in many ways, and it's not just nationalistic focused. Yeah. So we are in a strong position there because we have the community already, and that is something that we are quite proud of, that we have been able to find ways to support that in a way that Nordic Game, the conference, one of our strong sites, I guess, or brand, one of our brands, is that it's a place where you feel at home. It's an intimate yet really big conference. It's a place where you don't feel like that you are in the in the bottom of the food chain, even if you meet some execs. It's a VIP free environment to the most extent that we can get it, and it's a place where you come out after 3 days of conference going with a smile on your face and an appetite for actually using the tools that you've been provided at the conference to be able to make even better games.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was a long rant there.
To add up on that, you know, when I've joined Nordic, it was about 6 years ago. And, you know, the conference was very, very strong in the Nordic region. I think one of the reasons that I got on board was to internationalize it further. So I could see that the trend came like last year's edition, we had about 45% international audiences. And this keeps growing. So we're starting to be basically like a Nordic kind of initially focused conference that brings a family of like intimate experiences through a lot of like, you know, business emotions and knowledge that actually welcomes the whole world. So we're seen pretty much as a sort of like, you know, GDC of Europe in a more miniature basis in terms of like, you know, high level lectures, a lot of business, and of course, a lot of parties, as Jacob likes.
If you say that percentage wise, that is with visitors, if you select companies to be on stage, are you then keeping an eye open for where, well, the regions where they come from? Can we expect Asian companies, US, LATAM?
Yeah, Middle absolutely. In fact, you know, of course, with the coronavirus, I mean, we've been hit on one of our major audiences that are coming from Korea, China, and Japan. We have a lot of publishers coming from there, investors, basically project funders and equity funders that come every year. We have delegations actually coming from the Chinese government that come there, and they have a specific purpose to find new games to create long-term partnerships with the regional developers, but also with the European ones. And of course, my goal was to make it a very multicultural event. And then one of the aspects of bringing that into place was through country delegations. So in time, we reached out and started having constantly like Canadian delegation with a booth there, and game developers, a Swiss, a Greek, a Romanian, a Moldovan even. So, and we're even talking to Latin America. So, of course, our global impact is coming stronger. And once we survive this period of uncertainty for the next few weeks, we hope to come back on board even stronger with that kind of element of connecting the Nordic to the world, basically.
Yeah, I agree on what Teddy says. I just want to put in an extra facet here is that, you know, I tend to look at Nordic Game as a window into the, from people outside, a window into the region and to get the, you know, the flavor of the Nordic game development scene, and a window from the game development community in Nordic to the outside world to be able to present themselves and to reach out and meet with internationals. So this doesn't mean that we are, you know, as Teddy also says, it's not about Nordic anymore. We're an international conference, but it's meant as we really feel that there is some special elements within the Nordic community culture that is beneficial for everyone to learn about how to, you know, how to build communities, how company culture is done the best possible way, and so forth. There's a good list of interesting stuff being done in the Nordic countries that, you know, everyone should benefit from.
Absolutely.
I think also for other governments, I would say also to learn from what the Nordics have done. I mean, a lot of people are saying Finland, and it's take as what is now Business Finland, but also Sweden, Denmark. I mean, it feels more vibrant when it comes to investments, and definitely vibrant for startups. I mean, there are several programs where you can benefit from.
Yeah, that's true. And from our point of view, what we have tried to done, tried to do in that area, me and Teddy, we invented what is called the Nordic Game Discovery Contest, which is basically a live on stage pitching battle between selected developers in a long process that starts in their home countries at events or conferences there, where they kind of battle each other on stage, and then the winner from each of these battles all around the world, they gather in at the big finals at Nordic Game, the conference in May or November. Yeah. And then for me the greatest thing about this has been that we started it off by, we wanted to do like a pitching competition to to create more companies to get a fair chance of getting their games discovered. But as we've been doing it, and now we're in season 4 of this, we've been starting to reach out for what you could call emergent markets, at least in terms of the development communities in countries like South Africa, Brazil, and countries that hasn't got the same line of time that we in Nordic has had throughout the years on the game development scene, but it's coming there now. And that is some of the most amazing things I think we have seen with our contest, is that we're actually able to help the communities in these countries by doing these pitching battles and taking the winners to Nordic Game, where they learn so much, not learn from lectures, but really learn from the people there, yeah, networking, getting new contacts, starting to create the communities, because communities in essence is about communication and networking. So that's one thing that I think that we're really proud of, is to see that we can actually play a part in these countries by sharing our knowledge and how we did in the Nordic region.
Yeah. So then the inevitable question anyways, I mean, Corona is then delaying, postponing, canceling events. As we also have seen with soccer, the European Championships are to 2021. Now the FIFA is saying like, hey guys, that's actually interfering with our plan. Yeah. If you now look at that, why work together? Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at all these events, if GDC is actually moving up to, let's say, the end of the summer, August, or let's say end of July, we have August, we have Gamescom, we have other events. Are you guys in contact with conferences around the world? Like, hey guys, maybe not smart if you come close to one of our dates, or is there any communication where? Yeah. I mean, what, such a big GDC and such a big Gamescom, they can steal the light, I think, out of from an event that people should attend, like yours. I mean, any communication there? Or
yeah, I mean, it really depends on. Obviously, we have some strong partners that we've been doing great partnerships with for long, other conferences in Europe and so forth. But it's also like a really sensitive area, because it is like, as you say, it seems like the autumn will be very crowded with conferences that have postponed into the other half of the year. But we look at Nordic Game as an opportunity, really, to expand the Nordic Game name. We're not postponing, we're not canceling. We're doing Nordic Game 2020 in late May in a format that will be scaled depending on the situation. So it's too early to be really specific about it, other than to say it will be an actual conference live in Malmö in Slagthuset. But obviously we will have an online component for those people that want to attend but can't go.
Yeah.
And then we do a fully fledged Nordic Game in late November for everybody. Even the ones that did go in May, the ticket is for November as well. And
that's nice.
And yeah. I think that's the right way to go about it, because what we really want is to help the community and the development scene without obviously losing ourselves in it, which is quite important as well, actually. Yeah. But I think this solution is at least right now, it feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah,
and our announcement about the November edition has already happened. We tried to make it very early, and it will happen exactly 6 months after our own events. So in a way, it makes sense on this division, because after 6 months next year, we're going to be back in May. And I don't think we're clashing with anybody so far. And, I hope that we can all cooperate. It's going to be a very intense season as soon as this corona is over. And then I think people will be so excited to actually finally be able to leave their houses, leave their families, basically.
You know what?
Leave the family. Can and I go now? Yes.
Travel the world and basically have these handshakes and hugs and real communication one-on-one. Because in the end, you know, this is a human factor. It's a psychological part that we all need. Yeah. And this will not go away.
Yeah, I really think it will have consequences on many levels. One of them, obviously, the need to start exploring much, much more into the remote versions of events like ours. But at the same time, I really feel already, we're just 3 days into isolation, or at least in Denmark. Yeah. The need for social contact will be stronger than ever when we are on the other side of this. And there is a human dimension in everything that we do, even if we work with online games or whatever. The human dimension is really strong and important. And I think that one of the consequences of this crisis is that we're going to nurture that even more and appreciate it even more. Being able to see how important is it. I think we all know how important a real meeting is compared to a Skype call. You know, you can see, you can feel the difference. You can look into a person's eye in a Skype call, but you cannot pick up the sense of, you know, are we on the same page really? Or, you know, there's so much
body language.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, with the most positive glasses in front of your eyes, you should see this as an opportunity to actually learn something about your business and about the way that you act in life, and take out the best bits and use that in the future.
Cool. Yeah, it's also about the memory. I mean, remember our first meeting? I ran out in your bar in Harlem. Yeah. That was an important one, right? So there you go. These things matter, and some drinks matter too in the end. It is.
I did find my house, though. Not sure how, but automated pilot. No, but it's true. I mean, it's what I said before. It's like you can actually ask someone, hey, how are things at home? I mean, you can't do that really in an online conference where other people are involved. So. Yeah. I know you guys are busy. I'm coming with the last question. If you look at gaming today, can we expect anything from you guys with specifics like VR, like Facebook is doing that, I think, this week? Anything that you want to put on the agenda because of trends? Or
yeah, I would say, you know, no matter of virus or anything else, what we've been working towards the last month or year since the last Naughty Game is areas like accessibility in gaming. I think this is going to be a major trend or a buzzword that we will have talks about, which it basically means how accessible a game can be and how accessible it should be and to what types of gamers and so forth. I think that is one of the buzzwords right now. Obviously, we are also very keen on the whole VR, XR area, which is going through some really exciting updates and changes, I think. So that would be a major part as well. And then again, from our point of view in the Nordics, I think like a word like company culture is really, really important and will be even more important the larger the industry gets and the larger company gets. And so forth. I think it's really important to try to take a good look at how we can optimize the situation, the working situation for developers in all aspects, really, and try, because through that we will be able, and I'll say we as if I was a developer, which I'm not, unfortunately, but as an industry, we will be able to actually create much better games with much more variety and with a much stronger emphasis on telling stories that can actually have an impact on your life and only be entertaining, you know?
I would like to add to this because the word impact is super important for us. And I mean, for the last 2 years at Nordic, we've started running the impact series with Kate Edwards and with Tsahi Lieberman. The idea was to actually really empower players through some sort of knowledge that will actually make them a better persons and be able to be more civically involved in their communities. And I think at this stage, especially with people playing more and more games, especially in the corona period, it's very important that the content is the right one, that the values are there, so it can actually really inspire people and make them be actually more involved in their societies. There's a need for connection, and this can be done through gaming, and we also add this as part of our curriculum or content, you know, in the Nordic game.
Yeah. I'm seeing speakers, Katarina from Gamigo, Jason, Execution Labs. Any more you want to mention as eye catchers?
Oh, yeah, well, for me, it's Chris from Cabby Games. I just forgot his last name because it's Polish or something.
Piotrowski.
Yes, exactly. But that
is a very difficult name.
Yeah. I that is because he's touching upon a part of the industry which is really also a trend right now. It's the payment systems or the Gamer Pass on Xbox and the Apple Arcade on iOS. You know, the subscription based kind of way that you purchase games. Stadia can be mentioned as well, obviously.
Yeah.
But Chris is a really great example, I think, because Cabby Games created a typical free-to-play game, but turned it into a game which now is one of the crown jewels of Apple Arcade. And there's some really interesting things, gameplay-wise, I think, that they have done in that transformation. So I think that he's a really important person in our quite small speaker roster right now, because my work with speakers was really heavily abrupted by the virus.
Yeah.
but I think.
But you have some very interesting, because I'm seeing Aramak from London Venture Partners, Harry from Play Ventures. I mean, that's interesting on the investment side.
Yes.
I'm seeing DDM, Maarten de Koning, who just acquired Digital Capital.
Exactly.
So some of them are in Makers Fund, Michael Chung.
Yeah.
Some of them are making waves right now. So it's very interesting to actually get a catch up from them, why they did it and what they're looking for.
Yes.
I mean, Play Ventures has been uberly active. I mean, oh, damn it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. A lot of stuff is happening on the investment scene right now. I totally agree. Also, internally, because our boss, Eric Robertson, he has just launched Naughty Game Ventures for real, doing a lot of interesting work. It's a little bit too early to really reveal everything.
I know. Come on.
Yeah, and also because the status of everything, you know, it's like up in the air right now. But I can assure you that you will hear more from that part of Naughty Game as well, which I think is a really interesting take on investments and funds and how they have been working so far. But that's what I want to reveal right now.
Yeah, just to add to this right now, that also like one of the major components of Nordic Game is the actual focus on buyers meeting with like amazing content, because not only that the Nordic companies that have great education in schools, like, you know, potential for excellence, which we can see in terms of how the businesses are laid out and their success in the games industry, but also like the whole culture there is about, you know, just basically being able to connect and to receive feedback. And then we're bringing like two major things at Nordic. One of those is the Games Capital Summit on day zero of the conference, in which proper VCs from around the world meet with studios and they provide feedback and connections there. And the second part, which is basically my own baby, is the publisher market that we've been running for 4 years. And this one is focused on project funding and matchmaking with curated studios for a marathon session with the help of Meet to Match, which is one of our amazing partners that I want to mention here. They've done a great job with us. We've grown together for the past, I don't know how many years, Jacob, maybe like 6-7, but they were our first meeting. We were their first client, and they were our first client also for the meeting side. And I think they should receive all the support they can get now in these tough times, because with all the events being canceled, they have an amazing software there that can actually use for others to be able to work together. So big hugs to Ansgar and Fedor, who are actually very close to in Holland, right? So
yeah, So then we have the NG20 and the NG20 Plus, which is in November, so May 27th to 29th, and November 25th to 27th. Mm-hmm. Early bird is still a plug to be applied, or are we too late?
No, you're not. No, you're not too late. It's still applicable. And again, if you buy a pass now, it's applicable for both conferences, and you can attend both. So you actually get two in one for one ticket. So I will really, really stress people to go out and buy the passes now, because it will help and support us in our try to help and support the communities of game development.
Yeah. And then I have one last question, the academic pass. For who is that?
That is for students and all persons working within the educational field.
Yeah, cool. Well, guys, thank you very much for explaining. And I'm definitely, if I can fly, I don't have a private jet yet. But I definitely will come out. And when are you sort of, what is your last, your deadline to decide either a conference can go or not?
I mean, if let's say the worst possible situation is the government refuses us to do events in late May, then you know that we will have to follow these restrictions. But before that, it will be decided of the actual size of Nordic Game 20 in May. The size will depend on how many people we can expect will wanting to be there physically. And those questions, it's a little bit too early for us to set like a strict deadline, but in weeks before the conference actually starts, that will have been decided. So I would say like right now, late April, we will know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I want to be more optimistic than Donald Trump and not think that we're going to go all the way to like August or September with a mess in the US Health Service, and say that perhaps in 2 months, we're going to actually start relaxing the procedures and feeling better. And then, the world will be ready to move again.
Yeah, fingers, I agree.
But just don't use all the toilet paper when you buy it, please.
No. I can't reveal how many I have. It's a lot. I'm one of those. I'm going to make it easy to end of August, so no worries.
Well, I would just say that even preppers are welcome to join Nordic Game.
Okay, I'm there. Okay, guys.
Thank we'll you have very enough toilet paper for everybody involved. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
Renaud, I hope that I will see you in May in Nordic.
Yeah. Yeah, hope so too. And best of luck, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Tot ziens.
Thanks, Teddy. Thanks, Jacob.
Dank u wel.
Bye-bye.
Dankeschön. Bye-bye. So that was all for today, episode 12. And as you can imagine, I'm still tweaking the format. And as said, companies to watch is an item that comes back next week. I'm getting the hang of doing these interviews, but also the editing of the podcast. I'm having some very interesting guests lined up for the next coming weeks. So that's also pretty good. I'm getting really nice viewer ratings, and I want to thank you all for listening, but also I'm noticing that people are spreading it amongst their communities or inside their gaming companies, which is nice. And as always, I do ask you, if you have interesting news or topics, well, do share it. You do have my Gmail address, and you can reach also myself. I went on to Facebook again, which I have been off since, 5 years or something. So you can send me a message there, or LinkedIn or Twitter or whatsoever. Feel free. And in the meantime, a message to the gaming industry. Guys, it's tough. It's rough. We're dealing with a coronavirus. I think there are people that are saying, let's be a little bit more reluctant about it. The flu has killed more, true. But on the other hand, I want to say that every life counts. every human being counts. So let's be careful. I hope you guys will be careful and stay safe. And yeah, in the meantime, listen to my other episodes of Game Consultant. Thank you very much. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
This was all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Game Consultant. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. And remember, do share this podcast with other members of the games industry.